Thank you so much for joining me. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, inviting you to listen every week right here on PRN.FM. That's Progressive Radio Network. And one of the things that's so great about Progressive is that the shows are live. You can listen in anytime and archived. So if you hear something you like, you want to listen to it again, you can come right back to our archives and also listen to any of the shows that are on at any time. Today, we have a wonderful guest, Dr. Jeffrey Broderick. And Dr. Broderick is a veterinarian and has been practicing for almost 50 years in Huntington, New York. In a landmark paper titled The Cure, Prevention, and Control of Cystitis in Cats, Dr. Broderick described for the first time that acidification with ascorbic acid of the urine dissolved triple phosphate urinary calculi in 16 cats with acute cystitis and prevented bacteria from growing in the urinary tract. This work by the doc also paved the way for the use of cranberry juice to treat urinary tract infections and in people as well, thus helping to control and prevent a common disease in the United States. Dr. Broderick received an award from the California Orthomolecular Medical Society when he presented a paper and demonstrated by time-lapse radiography the systemic dissolving of bladder stones for the first time in history. His love and devotion to animals led him to on a trip to India to join Mother Teresa in rescuing stranded animals, as well as countless hours saving animals in many devastating situations across the country and the world. Dr. Broderick is the founder of Cornucopia Pet Foods, all natural pet foods, which we will talk about, and also created superfood and phytofood supplements for pets, all of which are natural and free of chemical additives, artificial colors, flavors, sugars, and MSG. And he is the author of the new book, Compassion for Pets. You're going to want to get in touch with Dr. Broderick, and to do so, you can go to cornucopiapetfoods.com or Cornucopia Express. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Broderick.
Thank you, Ellen. My pleasure.
Now, you are a very special guest to be here on the show with me because you and I have known each other and our families for more years than I'd like to think about, probably 40 years. Your kids were little teeny children and mine were babies.
Over 40.
Yep. Many, many years. And you have been focused on natural medicine really as a precursor to all of your work way before it was the in thing to do.
Well, I had people like you on my side. I had Linus as my big brother, Linus Pauling, and he was there when I got these awards.
What made you become a veterinarian in the first place, going back in time?
Going back in time when I was 3 years old, I knew all this right now was going to happen. And I was three. And so I had a little fenced-off thing in my backyard where I was going to make a zoo for animals and collect them and heal them and, you know, ones that were damaged and sick and a place to put them. I knew I was going to be an animal doctor. That's what I knew. Everything came to pass.
And I know you also served in the armed forces as well.
Well, I actually never went to high school. I left at 13 years old. I joined a Wild West show shortly after, and I rode professional rodeo for 12 years. Actually, I rode for Kansas State when I was a senior, until I was a senior in veterinary medical school, and then I didn't have time anymore when I graduated, but I rode, I joined the Marine Corps at 16. I joined the paratroops at 17. I came home from Korea after 3 years at 19. And then I went to flight school, and while I was in flight school, I got a call from New York State inviting me to come to any college that I wanted to go to, and I was accepted.
Wow. What a story that you were actually in the Marines, that you were a paratrooper, and at such a young age. And we're talking about the Korean War, so we know that you're not a little child.
No, I'm not a little child, but I was only in the Marine. I was a Marine for a minute because my mother, the captain and the sergeant, all in dress blues and everything, beautiful uniforms, came to pick me up. And my mother came running out of the house and grabbed them by their epaulets on their shoulders and said to them, with a couple of adjectives stuck in, with her Irish brogue, "Get your hands off me, blah, blah, son. He's only 16.
Oh my God, yeah, a little young to sneak off to the service. But you have had an adventurous life, because I also know that you have done a lot with polo.
Well, I rode 20 years of world-class polo, and that was very exciting, fantastic. I played at Bethpage every other Sunday, just about, for 20 years. But I played all over the world. I played in Rome. I played all over the world, Argentina.
So let me ask you this. You have a love of horses and all animals.
Yes.
But I would say, of course, I know your practice. I've been there many times with my own pets, as have thousands of people at your clinic in Huntington. There you do small animal medicine. You're not doing horses there, unless you do field visits for horses.
Yeah, I couldn't get out anymore, so I stopped doing that. I couldn't leave the clinic and drive for a half an hour or 45 minutes or an hour and then treat the horse and then drive back. I mean, that's a 2.5-hour round trip.
Right, right. Like, and you're so busy in your clinic with small animals. And you love all animals.
All animals. It doesn't make any difference what kind of animals it is. I'm sitting here on my deck looking at the birds going into a birdhouse that we put on a tree 30, 40 feet above the ground.
Yeah, they're all beautiful beings. Now, you noticed long ago that pets had a different lifespan than they do now.
They do. They do. When I was born, October 23rd, 1941, at the beginning of World War II, the dog and the cat, my grandfather's dog and the cat, for instance, that's a personal observation, that my grandmother's cat lived till 25, and my grandfather's cat, a dog, lived till 23. So that's an average of 24, and that's what they all lived, because all of their friends and everything I remember had cats and dogs that lived to that average. Half of my practice is Latino, and because we speak Spanish to the Latino people, and so half my practice is with Latinos. And the Latinos, we go through this all the time, and it's funny because we talk about their grandparents, their grandmothers and grandfathers, and they have dogs, German Shepherds, that live till 25 years old. And it's all because of one simple reason. They feed de la mesa. They feed of the table. They do not feed pet food.
Well, that is a big topic, and you talk about it in depth in your book, Compassion for Pets. help reverse aging and extend the life of your beloved companions. What a wonderful, wonderful subheading. And you just hit on a big thing, which is why you have devoted so much personal time, investigation, research, and a huge amount of personal money investment in order to develop pet foods that actually are much, much safer, healthier, and better for pets.
Well, they're not even pet food. They're food for pets, which is a gigantic difference. And it may be just semantics, but it's not. It is that every single solitary thing in my food is organic. Everything is organic. Three flavors that have the wild in it, then they have, they're made with organic ingredients, and they have wild fish, because you're not allowed to put fish because it comes from the ocean. Now, the ocean is the only place left that I know of that's pristine, but there are the regulatory agencies do not recognize the ocean as an organic place.
So it can't be called certified organic.
So
right?
those three formulas are not certified organic. They're with organic ingredients. But the certified organic has to be 95% organic. My food is 99.78% organic.
Well, I will say that you have a lot of information in this book, hard facts, as well as your personal opinion in terms of what's wrong with what is called pet food.
Well, pet food is the leftover garbage of the candy industry, the dairy industry, because you put whey in the food. You got to get rid of the whey. You can't recycle it. So you recycle all this garbage through the animals, and then that makes it a way you can get rid of it. But you can't.
Can you talk about the extruder? Because I know you have a chapter in that in your book in terms of an invention. And as you put it, the goose that laid the golden egg for the pet food company anyway. In fact, you say the pet food cartel, which you can tell us why you call it that.
Well, the pet food cartel cartel is not a very nice word, so I use that very not nice word to describe them, because they control the lives of all these animals and have brought the lives of the animals from 24 when I was born to now sick at 6 and dead at 8. Sick at 6 and dead at 8. So they're sick at 6, and then they got 24 months before they die. In that 24 months, people are spending an average of $1,000 a month to try to keep their pets alive. So the pet food cartel is the one really responsible for all this. They're giant companies that all own, by the way, not all, you know, when I say all, I'm talking 90%. Whatever I say all, it's 90%. So they own all the candy companies, 90%. And the candy companies, they take all the waste and everything that when they clean the machines between the shifts, they blow it all off and it hits the floor or whatever. And then they vacuum it up from the machinery on the floor, and they put it in big cardboard drums. Then they load those drums onto a trailer, and they take them and they deliver them to the pet food factories, where they are put in at a small percent so the toxicity doesn't show up. It's not that they're non-toxic, because they're full of sugar. And sugar is the detriment of everyone on Earth, and that was the most beautiful treatise on sugar was done by my personal friend Bill Duffy, who was married to Gloria Swanson, and he wrote Sugar Blues. So,
oh yeah, that's a famous book, Sugar Blues.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
sure. And everything in it has actually come to pass.
Because in that book,
it predicted the rise in diabetes that we actually are now experiencing.
You're 100% right. Well, Bill Duffy, I was sitting with Gloria, and we were watching, you know, Bill give his introduction of Sugar Blues at the Health and Nutrition Show in New York. And then Bill called me to the podium where I initiated the war against sugar and chemicals in pet food at that meeting, and that was in the 70s. So this goes back a long way. But the pet food, getting back to the pet food cartel is all these giant companies, and they have tremendous amounts of misinformation. Instead of giving the money to the pets, they give it to the advertising agencies. So Madison Avenue people are the ones that profit from the destruction of the pets in our lifetime. So here we are with sick at six. So 6 to 24 is 75%, and 8 to 24 is 66.66%. So that's what's happened. We have knocked off 66 to 75% of the lifetime of our animals in my approaching 76 years of life. It's so disgraceful. And who's really doing this? Are they responsible? Who's responsible for all this? Well, the consumer is responsible, because the consumer is led by the nose by these people. They are told when they went to the doctor the first time, as an 8 years old, 6 years old, whatever time you went with your mother, you were told, don't, now, Ellen, how old are you? I'm 8. Okay, doctor, I'm the doctor here, so you listen to me. Don't feed the dog off the table, it's bad, bad, bad. And don't feed the cat table scraps, it's bad, bad, bad. And don't feed them leftovers, because it's bad, bad, bad. And you, leftovers are for people, dog foods for dogs, and cat foods for cats. What a bunch of crap. It sounds a little like Catholic school, doesn't it?
Well, also, you're saying that information is actually wrong if you look at the research.
It is, but bad, bad, bad is the way we were taught in Catholic school. Okay, so bad, bad, bad is a phenomenal selling point, because you just scare the bejesus out of everybody. And that's the way the whole thing is taught. So they learned from this how to scare people, and that's the way it is. It's a giant scare technique, how to do that, you know. And so this is what the book reverses. The book tells the truth for the first time that I know of ever, because I've been doing this for 49 years now. So the book tells you what the truth is, and the fact is, if you would go and your grandfather is alive, and you go and talk to your grandfather, and you put your cell phone away and don't dare text in front of him, he will tell you stories like I'm telling you that are true. And the fact was that, why did they not get sick and why did they live so long? Well, because there was no pet food, and our grandparents, and for you and me, it would be our parents, fed the animals off the table. They fed them off the table, of the table, de la mesa, whatever you want to call it. That's the way they fed. So they fed real human food. Now, it's not the kind of food that I make, because I make human-grade, certified, organic food. That's a whole three steps up. Because
and then you also know animal nutrition. So there might be, like, what is a specific nutritional item that you might specifically add to, let's say, cat food that not everyone might know that cats need?
Well, the greatest thing that they put in there that makes the food look absolutely beautiful, not for the pet, but for the people, is carrageenan.
You don't want that.
Carrageenan makes the food look beautiful. It binds it up. You don't see any oil from the fish or from the chicken. You don't see the melted fat, which is yummy and good, but you don't see it because the people don't want to see it. So they know that the people who would never, ever, ever, ever eat cat food or dog food are now the connoisseurs of pet food. I mean, it just is so ridiculous. And they're worried about, well, it looks a little wet. It looks a little oily. Of course it looks oily. There's fish oil in there. Those are omega-3s in that food. There's omega-6s in that food from the chicken fat. There's all those oils, and the oil, when you cook it in the can, it separates from the protein and makes a nice little ring of oil throughout the food. But people don't want to see that. So the people who are never going to eat this food worry about, well, it looks watery to me. I mean, it's so ridiculous. But that goes back to the consumer. The consumer has to grow up. The consumer has to take the life of their animals in their own hands and stop listening to the experts who say it's bad, 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 and don't do this and don't do that. The reason we, as veterinarians, were taught that BS line was because the pet food cartel knows that if you feed the animal from the table, if you feed the animal table scraps, that animal is not going to eat your garbage pet food. So that's why they did that, and that all started about 1953. So it's up to the consumer to understand these little nuances of why they do what they do and the behavioral characteristics of the consumer and how they are totally controlled by professionals in the medical profession who have absolutely no idea about nutrition. Now, I was very fortunate because I was very fortunate. It was just safe stuff. You know, in the Army and the paratroopers, I went to cook school. How'd that happen? How did I go to cook school? Because that's what I was supposed to happen to me. And why did I grow up in a Sicilian neighborhood? Because I saw everybody, I saw all the Germans, the Jews, the Irish, all the people except for the people from Northern Europe die off. But the Sicilians and the Italians didn't die off. So the Italians would die off in their early 90s, and the Sicilians would die off somewhere around 100. And it was all from the food. So I noticed that at 3. And then as I grew up, I raised pigeons, so I was into genetics at 9 years old. And then I went to, you know, when I was in the Army, there's a whole story behind it, but the cooks decided they were going to do me a favor and send me to cook school. So I went there, learned a tremendous amount, and then when I was at Kansas State University, after I got my bachelor's degree, when I was in my senior year of veterinary medical school, I was in the first class of nutrition ever taught in any medical school of any kind in the United States.
Yeah, it's very, physicians get very minimum training in nutrition. Now, Dr. Broderick, we're going to take a little break right here. And when we come back, we're going to remind people about how they can find you at cornucopiapetfoods.com. That's cornucopiapetfoods.com. And we're going to talk about what you put in Cornucopia Pet Food and the supplements, superfood and phytofood, and the results that you have seen. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss jojoba, the miracle plant of the desert.
Jojoba is spelled J-O-J-O-B-A, but is pronounced according to its Spanish origins. The jojoba plant grows in the American Southwest in the Sonoran Desert in Mexico. The jojoba is a large bush-like plant resembling mistletoe. It can reach a height of 15 feet and can live from 100 to 200 years. The Sonoran Indians have used the oil pressed from the jojoba beans for centuries. Father Juniper Serra, founder of 21 missions in California, noted in the early 1700s that the local Indians were using jojoba oil for treating sores, cuts, bruises, burns, and as a diet supplement, to soothe skin from sun and wind burns, as a cooking oil, and even as a beverage.
The importance of jojoba as a cash crop was proclaimed in 1935, but it was not until 1974, when the killing of sperm whales was banned, that the government began to study jojoba oil in depth as a substitute for whale oil. The National Academy of Sciences concluded jojoba oil has a radically different chemical structure than any other known oil. Most oils break down or turn rancid. Jojoba, on the other hand, is hypoallergenic, non-toxic, never turns rancid, and does not break down even under high temperature and pressure.
The University of California at Riverside did a study where they cooked 27 batches of popcorn in the same heated jojoba oil. The last batch was just as perfect as the first. These unusual properties are unique to jojoba oil because, chemically speaking, jojoba oil is not really an oil at all, but is a liquid wax. Its composition is almost identical to sebum, which is the oil secreted by human sebaceous glands to help to protect the skin from the environment.
Jojoba has a myriad of usages. The cosmetic industry takes advantage of its compatibility to human skin by adding it to shampoos, conditioners, moisturizers, and many other cosmetic products. In medicine, jojoba can be used directly on rashes, cuts, and psoriasis. It may also be used as a lubricant for artificial hearts. Jojoba contains a natural appetite suppressant, which can be used in weight loss products. It has no known side effects. In industry, jojoba is known to be a superior engine lubricant and will cause a car to run 20 to 30 degrees cooler when added to the crankcase oil.
So, if you are interested in a miracle plant from the desert, reach for jojoba in your natural medicine chest.
Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and as always, I'm wishing you the best. We have lots of classes going on. You can join us on online classes. Go to naturalnurse.com and look at calendar. We have many classes coming up that are actually certified, so you get a certificate for attending, and if you're a healthcare professional, you get CE credits. Also, we have trips to Chinatown, New York, where we learn about all kinds of traditional Chinese techniques that you can use for yourself and your family. It's like going away for the day to another country. And we have herb walks every week where we go outside and gather wild, edible, and medicinal plants you might have thought were some kind of weed, but sometimes that's just the word meaning you don't know what to do with it. So many of those are free, and we have one almost every day, so you can check in with us and join us on the ground, in face, or online. So thank you so much for listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Our guest today is veterinarian Dr. Jeffrey Broderick. Dr. Broderick, for those of you who've been listening, you know, has a very long history of loving animals and being deeply involved with them, as well as being a top-notch nutritionist who has literally invented totally natural pet food and pet food supplements. And you can find them at cornucopiapetfoods.com, cornucopiapetfoods. And Dr. Broderick, I see a beautiful article, Dr. Broderick, of you actually visiting with Maneka Gandhi, who is a member of the Parliament of India. And I know you also actually met with Mother Teresa looking at what you can do about world hunger that affects pets.
Yeah, well, Maneka called me when I was when I was in India with Mother Teresa, and she said, before you leave, can you come and spend a couple of days with me, because we have to get together and I can't get there because Parliament's in session. So instead of me flying to Calcutta, can you fly to New Delhi? And I did. I went to say goodbye to Mother Teresa, and we spent some time together. And before we left, I said, "Well, it's time to say adio." So she said, "Jeffrey, don't say adio. Don't say adio, because that is that's goodbye, and that's like final. So say ciao or arrivederci or see you later, okay? But don't say adio." So I remembered that. I flew to New Delhi, and then I spent a couple of days with Maneka, and we were at Maneka's aunt's house for dinner the next night after leaving Mother Teresa, and she said, "Well, let's go in and watch CNN and have dessert in the library." So we moved in, and she put the television on, and up it came. Mother Teresa retires. So that day when I left and went to the left to the people that were driving me to the airport, and she went to the right, she went to the mother house. Well, I didn't know what they were doing, but they had a caucus of who's going to take over the Sisters of Charity. So everybody looks at me and they said, "Oh my God, you're the last man on earth with Mother Teresa as the queen of the Sisters of Charity." And that's what happened. I was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very profound.
Not only did I spend a lot of time with her and personal stuff and things that she confided in me, but I was the last man with her. So last September 4th, I went to Rome and I sang addio at the canonization of Mother Teresa when she became Saint Teresa of Calcutta, and so I sang addio, and I'm going to sing it again on June 29th, next Thursday, at the Cold Spring Harbor Library, and I'm going to give a lecture, and I'm going to sing addio, Teresa's song for the animals, and it's the song of unconditional love. And people can find this song, by going to www.soundcloud/Dr. Jeffrey Broderick. With a G-E-O.
So it's posted. It's good if you just put a link there on your site.
Yeah,
well, I want to talk about unbelievable food that you create at Cornucopia, because I'm just online at cornucopiapetfoods.com, and I'm looking at the ingredients. So I want to read this list of ingredients versus if someone has commercial pet food at home, they can read the list of ingredients on that. Because this has in it organic, and this is certified organic chicken, wild salmon, you described the wild, organic chicken liver, organic turkey, organic rice bran, which is a source of prebiotics, wild sardines, all kinds of food, organic whole brown eggs, Himalayan mountain crystal salt, and for the only thing that causes color would be pumpkin. So you don't have any artificial flavors, colors, toxic chemicals in here. And even the vitamin supplements are excellent forms of vitamins. This is a whole different thing. You have zinc as an amino acid chelate. Most human food does not have that.
Well, this is what we do. Actually, what we do is not even the salt. The salt actually is Himalayan mountain crystal salt that's in there. That is 250 to 300 million years old. That salt is a quarter of a billion years old. And that salt, I can buy Morton salt for pennies. I pay $5 a pound for the salt. And that's a 5,000% increase in my cost of making the food. Who cares? Who cares what it costs to feed Skunky? I mean, Skunky sleeps with me every night. Who cares? Who cares what it costs to feed Bambi, okay? Bambi's my corgi, and Madeline. Who cares what it costs to feed them? It costs pennies to feed these animals. And the people are programmed to cheap, 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 cheap. Now, everybody has a latte every day, you know, everybody, you know, the 90% rule, okay? They have a latte every day. I had a guy come in the other day, and he says, no, I don't have a latte every day. I have two lattes every day. That's $10 in lattes a day for this guy, all right? So something, the people are going to have to say, and I don't care whether they have 20 lattes. I just care that they stop feeding pet food. They stop. It's just outrageously toxic for these animals. And when we put in that, and so why are you going to spend all this money to put in Himalayan mountain crystal salt, 5,000% more than it would cost me for regular salt that we buy in the grocery store. The reason is that the Himalayan mountain crystal salt, as I'm sure you've told everybody for years, contains 87 different minerals that were the birth of life. It's where life was created. In these minerals, before any pollution, before the sharp tooth and the brontosaurus and the and all those big animals, okay, were even evolved. This is a quarter of a billion years ago that this stuff was stored away inside the Himalayas when they arose from the Indian Ocean. So this is what we do. Every single solitary thing is organic. Everything is organic. And organic is the only way. So why do I like almost overdo it when you can't overdo it? Because where are we going with this? I was told by a guy the other day, he says, Doc, I think you got your metrics wrong. I said, really? So tell me. He says, well, I just had four cats die at 4 years old. And you're saying sick at six and dead at eight. I think they're sick at four and dead at six. I said, nah, you know what? I can't even wrap my head around this. I can't even go there. I'll put a gun to my head. It's too depressing to me to even think about it that way. So let's stop it right here. Stop it. Get off the pet food, and then you take. Now, this isn't about using my food. This is about taking the food that I produce that you just read off, that litany of fantastic ingredients that are extremely expensive to me, but not to you, because I buy them. You know, when you go and buy, my turkey is $12 a pound. I don't pay $12 a pound. You'd pay $12 a pound. But I buy it, 22,000 pounds of turkey at a time. 22,000
right, for producing the food.
Right. So I get it, and then I put a markup on it, and then I give it to everybody. I'm like, I buy it for you, okay? But then you take my food and you mix it. That's my paradigm. Then you take my food and you mix it with your grandfather's paradigm, and that's the food off the table, the food that's left over that you were told not to do since you were little children and you were programmed. So what the book does is Compassion for Pets is made to deprogram you, to unprogram you, to make you see that we were programmed. And what it does, and what it does is something really special. The book tells you, like I'm telling you now, everything I do and everything I say, and every paragraph contains a why. I'm a teacher, and what I do is I teach why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. The reason why. And this is where the medical profession fails. They
and very specific. For instance, many older animals, just like older people, get different kinds of joint issues. And you talk about the fact that you use glucosamine and chondroitin, and you even talk about the politics, like you can't necessarily say it cures inflammation. You have to learn the tricky words like support joint health. And then you're very specific about why someone should look for their pet and maybe for themselves as well, glucosamine sulfate rather than glucosamine hydrochloride. So there's so much specific information.
That's right. And it's all controlled by the drug cartel. So you got the drug cartel controlling largely the human industry, and you've got the pet food cartel controlling almost tremendously the pet industry. Although the drug cartel does control the human industry, because the average doctor doesn't know anything about nutrition. They die. The average physician in the United States is dead at 56 years old. The average person dies at 76. So the average person dies 20 years after the person who was supposed to be treating them and keeping them well. So the physician dies first. Now, this is how bad it is. The physicians voted down continuing education in nutrition. They voted it down, and so that the states gave up the pressure that you have to have nutrition courses. They actually boycotted the states so that they said, we are not going to do this. You want our licenses? Here, take all the licenses away. We're not going to study nutrition. We're not going to talk about nutrition. We're not going to pay any attention to nutrition. Why and how could you, when you're relegated on Long Island to an eight minute office visit? Now, how can you teach somebody? You and I have been on the phone now for 44 minutes, okay?
Right, we're about to take another break, Dr. Broderick, so why don't we do that right now?
Okay.
We're going to take one more break here so you can hear about some of the wonderful other shows and station promos here at Progressive Radio Network. And when we come back, we will talk about nutrition, and we'll talk about some specifics that you have in the cornucopia pet food product. Like, you don't even like to say they're pet food because they're just food. And very interesting, on your website at Cornucopia Pet Foods, it says individually tasted by you. So this is completely human-grade prepared food of the highest level, all organic. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Progressive Radio Network. The Thinking Person Station.
Next time on Peace Talks Radio, Raising Girls Part 2.
I struggle with my personal appearance, people telling me I'm not good enough or that I don't fit the ideal of what a beautiful woman is.
We need to constantly be helping girls reflect on how crafted the images they see really are.
Conversation about some of the special challenges young girls face and what parents might do to ease their paths. Next time on Peace Talks Radio.
Hi, I'm David Crow, host of The Infectious Myth, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time here on PRN.FM. I love science the way it should be practiced, but a lot of modern science is corrupted by financial interests and serves a master other than the public good. Myths continue to be constructed around viruses, vaccines, forensics, and pharmaceutical drugs. People are dying and ending up in jail because of them. Listen to me as I deconstruct the myths that those who call themselves scientists weave, or when I wander into social and political topics. If you're new to the show, check out our past episodes at infectiousmyth.podbean.com.
This is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food, and you're listening to PRN, your source for progressive, up-to-date, and inspirational information on nutrition and health.
Back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z here at Progressive Radio Network. Our guest today is Dr. Jeffrey Broderick, longtime natural veterinarian, and we're talking about his practice, his adventurous life supporting animal wellness all over the world, and his all-natural line that he developed to support your pet's health at cornucopiapetfoods.com. Now, I'm looking at the cat food, Dr. Broder, because I noticed the cat food has taurine in it. Is that something that cats specifically need?
Yes, cats can't make taurine. Dogs can make taurine. However, cornucopia is the only food that I know of in the same can that feeds dogs and both cats. Cat food is more expensive to make than dog food, so the dogs suffer because you can make dog food and get away with a lower quality food, and people don't know this. And so I make cat food for cats and cat food for dogs, and then the dogs flourish because they're eating the cat food that I make.
So, higher protein, and it has so many nutrient-dense things, as does the superfood. And I know you invented superfood sort of as a supplement, and it has, let's say, even the vitamin E. You're not talking about, if you do read your labels, even on your food labels for humans, for vitamin E, you're often going to see D, L, a little L. That little L means it's synthetic, while you're using mixed natural tocopherols, just as a little specific thing to look at in terms of quality.
That's correct. That's correct. All those little things add up to going from sick at 6 and dead at 8 to doing well over 18. We have crossed the 18 barrier. And that's what we've gotten their lives back. So that's why people say, well, you really overdo this stuff. Well, I overdo it because I'm on a timeline, you know, and I have got to get this thing done in this lifetime. So in order to get it done, I may have to push the envelope a little more than you could get away with it. I don't want to get away with anything. What I want to do is I want to get these animals back to where I was born before I go bye-bye. So
you're talking about raising the awareness so people aren't okay with pets only living, to 6 or 7 or 8 years old.
Well, that's all they know. That's all the people know. But then the people think back after listening to them and they go, you know, I remember my grandfather and I remember my parents. And they when my parents were little, they had a dog that lived till 18 because I was a little kid and I remember the dog, you know. And but now, you know, my dogs are sick at 6 and dead at 8. And, you know, and this isn't the metrics come from me, but to get it to me, they've come from 30 women that I talk to every day around the world. And for the boys, who it's a little more difficult to get across, to say the least, I now have come out with Super Bowl. So Super Bowl is for dogs only, and it has peas and carrots in it. Because I get, well, my wife is away because she's an executive in this, and she's flying all over the place and everything. And I just don't cook for myself. When she's away, I go out. Okay,
oh, so
fine.
The table scraps are not going to have too many vegetables.
So I put the peas and carrots in there for the dog, and that's in Super Bowl. And Super Bowl is also less expensive so that when the boys go to buy it, they don't have to kvetch about the money that they're spending. It's so ridiculous.
Well, what kind of feedback are you getting from the thousands of customers you have all over the world who are feeding their pets a healthier diet?
Well, the feedback is I have a dog that's sick. I have a cat that's sick. It's been sick all week. It's been vomiting. It's stuff. Its skin breaks out. It has diarrhea and all that stuff. And okay, all right. So here's what you do. Did you put your order in? Did you go online or you call me or whatever you do? My staff will take your order, whatever. 3 days later, there's no more vomiting. 3 days with a cat that's been sick for weeks.
But what about people who have been feeding their pets healthy long term versus people that have been using, you know, commercial low grade pet food?
Then they don't experience this. They don't experience the sickness. And then
it's
when
not
they
really
add,
normal.
Right.
You know, pets could be healthy for a much longer period of time.
Right.
Well, I know that you have so many projects going on, and our time is almost over. But I do want to ask you about something else, which is new and interesting, and people might want to learn more about in the future, and that is blue scorpion venom. What is that?
Well, if they look up Pet Life Pharmaceuticals, then you'll see learn about blue scorpion venom. And blue scorpion venom is we found that the people in Cuba that had been bitten by blue scorpions, their cancer went away. And so we are producing a scorpion farm in Haiti. And we're going to milk the scorpions. We're going to take that, and then we're going to put that into a product that the people can use orally that will help. We'll see what the results are, but we're hoping for a very prominent thing that's going to help us prolong the lives of those animals with cancer, and then we're hoping for more than that. But I don't want to talk about it, you know, too much.
Prematurely.
Prematurely, exactly. But this is fantastic. This is a fantastic opportunity for us because remember, one out of two dogs die of cancer. one out of two cats die of cancer. Now, the pet food part, one out of two dogs die of diabetes, one or two cats die of diabetes. Then there's room for other things thrown in there, kidney disease and all that kind of stuff. But
Well, you see it in your clinic every day.
But I see it in the clinic every day. And cancer is number one and diabetes is number two. And I don't see it in my clinic because if you come to me, what we don't do is we don't have eight-minute office visits. We have our office visits where we sit down for 40 minutes to an hour, and I explain to the people all the things that we just talked about, and we sit down and we go through and we read what they're feeding. We read it off. We make them bring in the bag and the can. We read it off to them, and we teach. We teach the people why they're what they're doing, why they're not, how they can improve on what they're doing, and why we're telling them what to do, and the results are so dramatic. You know, if you have it, if you have a puppy or a kitten or something like that, and you're just going to go to the regular veterinarian, but it's time to understand that if you have a if you have a child, you're going to go to the pediatrician, okay? Well, now you're going to go to a pediatrician who's a nutritionist. And that's what you want to do. Find out, because 90% of every single thing that happens to us and to our pets is due to nutrition. That's it. This food that I make is not going to stop your dog or cat from being hit by a car, okay? But it is. But the prevention is so outrageously positive that you can now have an animal, and if you get a puppy and kitten now and you come to me and you sit down and we talk about it, you can get that animal virtually disease-free and be looking at that animal 20 years from now instead of six. And it's all about education.
Well, thank you so much for the time, Dr. Broderick, to be our guest today. We're going to be ending here, but I do want to remind people about this wonderful book, Compassion for Pets, Help Reverse Aging and Extend the Life of Your Beloved Companion, A Veterinarian's Passionate Lifelong Journey to create supreme nutrition using real, organic, human-grade, GMO-free, we didn't have even time to talk about that, for a happier, healthier life for our pets. So thank you so much for this book and for your time and for all your endless work with animals over the last five or six decades. And it's really, really been a service to the planet as well as your furry patients. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ellen, for having me.
And reminding our listeners that you can listen to this show on the archives at Progressive Radio Network. And you can find Dr. Broderick at cornucopiapetfoods.com. And you can find me, Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, at naturalnurse.com, as well as Dr. Eugene Zamperone, my illustrious co-host. And until next week, we're hoping that you stay healthy.